Good morning. Welcome to Secret to My Success. My name is Alan Bornstein, and I'm here with...
Luis Alicea. Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here once again in this beautiful, beautiful morning.
So we are here to talk to business owners about their journey, their venture, how they went from being employed by somebody to being self-employed. Luis brought some amazing guests in here that have played professional sports, football, baseball, basketball, and golf. We've had some wonderful people, and this is about learning their secret to their success to help you grow your business. Thanks for being here with us this morning. We're so glad you could be here. If you have an interesting story, if you know somebody that you think we should be talking to, we'd like to hear from you. You can reach me, Alan, 561-953-2007 at extension 101. Once again, my name is Alan. Secret to My Success, 561-953-2007, extension 101.
Please call us. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with Mr. Luis Alicea.
Yay!
How you doing, Louis?
Good, man.
What are you up to?
Happy.
Happy?
Happy, happy. Bought a house. It's a lot of work.
It
is. Finding the little things when you buy a house that they don't disclose to you and that pass inspections, but they really shouldn't pass inspection.
Oh, nice.
Yes, not good.
I got to tell you, I sold my mom's house. Closed on it. Got a phone call from the title agency that the guy can't turn the water on. I said, what do you mean he can't turn the water on? So he closed on Friday, and I decided not to turn off the water until Monday. So, because I figured this way I'd give them time, so I turned off the water on Monday. They said, oh, we'll send you the final bill. I said, great. I get a phone call yesterday saying he can't turn it on because I didn't pay the final bill. I'm like, well, they didn't send me the final bill. You would think that all that stuff would have been done, but whatever. So, yeah, I had to run around yesterday to get him so he could go to the bathroom.
That's an easy fix.
Easy.
Yeah.
That's an easy fix.
You know what we forgot to do?
What?
Dawn! Thanks for being here. How you doing? Dawn, yay!
Yay, Dawn.
You're blowing up the speakers, Alan. I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
He's happy. I think he's charged up today.
I can feel
the energy.
Look, that's because we have somebody in the studio today.
We have a guest who brought us brownies, so the rest of it's just
And they're
just
pretty
totally
good. They're really, really good.
That's it. Nice. Dawn, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Yes.
Louie and I are golfing tomorrow. We wonder if you'd go and wash our balls for us.
Funny.
I'd love to. I didn't mean it like that.
But no. I have prior engagements. Sorry, I can't wash your balls tomorrow.
Louie, you're out of luck.
I'm out of luck, bro.
It was a good one, though.
We're in a tournament tomorrow.
That's good.
Should be interesting. Good.
And your kids are going?
My boy's going. Nice. Playing for the first time in a tournament, so hopefully.
I haven't played in years, so I mean, I don't know that I would be a good person to
neither
have.
Neither has Alan.
Oh, I haven't played in years. Right?
But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
You know what's always fun? Like, when you're aiming this way to the right and you turn all the way to the left, and people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. You know? It's all good. So we have a pretty cool guest with us. He brought us brownies.
Nice.
Nice.
I actually have one. They're really good.
They are like I would like. About 2 years old, actually.
I could just get the whole thing. Just put some whipped cream on top, some Kahlua.
Are you telling me how to cook now?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Some vanilla ice cream. Heat them up a little bit.
Vanilla ice cream for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Just slide those over here. I'm gonna try one.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
I'm taking one. There you go.
All right.
So, Mr. Bellini, where are you from?
I am actually originally from New Jersey.
Joyce
Rutherford.
Jersey.
If you know Giant Stadium and the Meadowlands, that's my hometown.
Yeah. You mean the New Jersey Giants?
The New Jersey Giants.
Right? I saw many concerts at the Meadowlands.
So have I. We might have been to the same ones. Yeah. Who knows? Grew up in Jersey. I went to Culinary Institute in New York.
Hold on.
College.
These are amazing.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's in book two. Those are the recipe.
Nice.
Cocoa Slope Mountain Brownies. Yeah, they're really nice. And I was always into... arts and sports when I was younger. I ended up leaving Jersey when I was 19. I never imagined I would even leave New Jersey. I just grew up loving it. I grew up literally about 5 miles outside New York City and thought this is the best thing in the world.
So why did you leave Jersey?
I don't know. Came to the point I just really wanted to just move on. So I went out to Chicago. My dad had moved to Chicago at the time. I lived out there for a couple of years. I went back to school in New York, up in New York State. I lived in Seattle for 7 years in the 90s. I've lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've lived in Key West for a few months during my culinary school. I did an extern program.
Nice.
And it was the winter time, and it was anywhere you could go accredited by our school. And I'm like, I'm going to Key West. Nice. I mean, 23-year-old kid, 22-year-old kid, why not? You know, so it was it was awesome.
You, are you running to something or from something?
Running to or from?
Yeah.
Neither.
It seems like you're all over the place. So are you leaving something or trying to find
something? You know what? It was really my career as a chef. I mean, I always felt like, you know, I had never, I mean, when I was a kid, obviously I had New York City and all that around us, and we did so many great things. But I had, you know, I think we went to California once when we were kids for a vacation, but I had never lived out there. And I realized, you know, you could go anywhere with this career. So go west, young man. You know, and so it was really, that was kind of a start of heading. Actually, I went to school when the earthquake happened in 1989. I remember the World Series where I was literally 2 months before graduation and going to go to San Francisco and start a career in the culinary world because it's San Francisco. And then once the earthquake hit, I kind of said, all right, you know, San Francisco's not the place to move to right now. Everything went up. It was a crazy place to go. So Seattle. Never been to Seattle. And just made a move to Seattle. Drove a Hyundai with a U-Haul that was probably bigger than the Hyundai behind it across the country in January. Like sheet of ice, the whole country. And it was awesome. It was great. Wow. And I believe that. I really believe that with this country. You could drive wherever you want and literally in a month probably have an apartment, have a job, and have a new life starting.
Okay. So, how did you get from Seattle to here?
After
he drove.
So, I became a pastry chef out there. So, it was Four Seasons Hotel, working years, just grinding it hard. And literally learning so much from, you know, everything I could with pastries, working. And after a while, I realized I was 3,000 miles away from my family. And I hadn't lived near my family in years because of college and my career. And so my mom, my grandparents on my mother's side had moved to outside Charlotte during the time I was there. And so I just at a point said, you know what, it's time to kind of get closer to the family. So I moved back to North Carolina to just give it a go and to see what it was, see what Charlotte was all about.
And how do you end up here in Florida?
Pretty much 9/11. I had a business in North Carolina. Business partners weren't so great. I was in North Carolina. I was in Charlotte. I had a dessert business, had business partners. Wasn't great partners. 9/11 hit, and I realized, you know what, you have to go and live where you want to be. And just so I came down here and started my life in South Florida.
Nice.
Excellent. So let's talk about this.
Chirpy Decorum.
You are here to tell us about Chirpy Decorum. Is this like your alter ego?
You know what it is, actually.
The little redhead?
It really is. You know what it is?
With red hair.
I just wanted to... I started her 6 years ago. I've been a pastry chef for years. I really conquered so many goals as a pastry chef. Worked in every type of place from resorts, hotels, restaurants. And I just wanted to do something more. But I never had the ego to have it be about me.
So you made it about... Chirpy.
Chirpy. Chirpy. I created her from just, I always thought, you know, I want to bring something to people that is relatable, a cute, you know, innocent character that, you know, she's a culinary wizard. I originally looked at her as a mix between Martha Stewart and like a culinary wizard.
It is so, kind of looking like a little like you. You look
like she's way so, cuter than me.
How did you come up with the name Chirpy?
So, right. So the whole name, I wanted her to represent kind of upbeat and just fun, you know. So Chirpy is very much an upbeat kid. And Decorum is really about self-respect and, you know, having just a presence of being respectful to yourself, the world, and representing yourself. I wanted to balance that in one character. And Chirpy Decorum.
Okay. So you come up with this idea. You come up with this name. And you're telling your family, I'm going to go from making pastries to writing books about pastries. And they told you what?
Go for it.
Really?
I mean, honestly, I was working so much. I had these stories. I had many of these stories started. I had basic outlines. I was working on OneDrive most of the time. And then I just wasn't making a lot of progress with Chirpy because I was full-time pastry chef, you know, 6 days a week. Hours every day. You get home at night, you're just beat up, You know, it's I really akin to being a chef as a sports season.
You're standing up all the time, moving.
All the time, moving, carrying. And I literally, in the off season, would train to get through the next season. And I really handled it as a sports season. I used to play baseball myself, and I just looked at it that way. And I conquered that career in that way. But it does take its toll. It takes its toll on you. And
I like that the season's kind of
It really is. Yeah. And except I can never lose. There was never a time, because, you know, if I was doing a wedding cake, if I was doing desserts, it was a lot of money they were paying, and it had to be great, and I just really was an organized, I still am, I like to be organized, I like details, and you prepare yourself. When it's time to execute, you execute.
You know, you take it for granted. I watch a lot of times the shows, the TV shows right now, they have like a chef wars, and it's pretty intense. You know, when the guy is judging them and all that, and
right, yeah,
you're no good. This is no good. I mean, it's pretty.
I've had a couple of chefs like that long ago in the 90s. I think that type of chef isn't going to make it really well these days, because you really have to have respect from your team.
But some of that's for TV.
Yeah, it's all for TV. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't really watch a lot of those competition food shows, because they're just made to make you and lose. So they're set up against you. And so I'm really like a grassroots. I love the Create channel. I love those grassroots type of TV shows, PBS, where
this
it's
is
just
great.
Really.
I'm sorry, I'm reading through the book. We have Sammy, the grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm. Grilled cheese Sam.
My granddaughter, she loves to cook. Taylor cooks. She actually goes to a cooking camp through the summer.
Nice.
There's a lady who has a restaurant up in Stewart, where I live. So she went, like, I think 4 weeks last year to a cooking camp, and she loves it. This I got to get some of these for her. She would love it.
My daughter's going to love it because she loves to bake.
Yeah.
So I want to know, is the recipe for those brownies in this?
It is.
Yeah,
that's in book two. Actually, yeah. It's the Cocoa Slope Mountain.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so
Chirpy was born and raised in Dazzleton.
Dazzleton.
A whimsical town. I can't even say
whimsical.
A whimsical town.
We have to teach you how to
read. What great writing.
Thank you. I wanted to create something that could be bigger than anything I could do, you know, as a pastry chef. I wanted the world to have it. And really, the whole purpose of Chirpy Decorum is for parents and kids to read together, read and cook together.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
People read novels, people read all types of books. I grew up cooking. I had an Italian family, so I always had food in my family. So I really was cooking at a young age, and just kind of was natural. I probably could have played outfield for a MLB team.
Well, you're tall enough.
I used to play baseball, but I went into the pastry world. Sometimes I kick myself for that one, but
hey
it got me here.
Safer.
It, right. But
what else those Chirpy cooks?
Everything. Like there's all food. It's food. It's not just sweets. And that was one thing. So I've always read cookbooks, and you always read stories. And I thought, you know what? I could up the game with cookbooks by making a character. Actually, you could read stories about somebody who you could follow along mm-hmm. as a character. And so she goes on adventures. Her whole thing is she loves family, friends, and food. And that's her life. Is just
she
really
could be Jewish.
She could
no,
be.
I say that.
I'm going to have a Passover trip.
I joke around about it, but the Jews and Italians are the same, being Jewish.
Absolutely.
It's about the family. It's about the food. You guys go to the middleman. We go to the top.
Right.
I mean, everything else is the same, right?
It's true.
That was funny,
right.
Alan.
It's true. But I was really focused on that. I wanted to focus on something that was like more fun than, you know, you see cookbooks and the recipes are great, but they really just fill it in with stories of somebody who you don't know and somebody's grandma that's always this. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to have a character that you could just keep following along on her adventures. And she's really a good, wholesome kid. Like, I really work hard on making her not privileged,
spoiled.
You
believe she's real.
You'd be amazed.
I'm listening. Like, this kid's
like,
real to you.
So when she is.
She's got to be. I mean, that's how he makes it.
Right?
It draws people in or attracts them. Like when you're writing, you're creating.
Absolutely.
It's part of being creative and artistic,
absolutely.
Right?
Kind
of
like
real.
My make-believe friend Louie that used to play Major League Baseball.
He's real.
Oh, no way.
There's times, like, I've developed her character. So book one is really like introducing Chirpy. So you see who she is, you see where she's from, and then there's an adventure there. And I wanted to set that up so, like, because kids really will tune into that. They'll remember.
I'm totally tuning in. I'm reading through this now.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, this is great stuff, but are you making a living doing this? Is this what you're doing?
It's getting there. I'm really just, I jumped off the cliff. I left my career in October 22.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, because this one, I published
this one. COVID comes in and you says, I'm going to do something different.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 5 years.
Okay.
Like, I finally the door kind of, the tide shifted about 2 years ago when I said, you know what, you need to make this a part-time job. Because I go home at night after working, well, you're just tired, your body's tired, emotionally you're tired. So I really started like focusing, okay, make this a part-time job. And that's when I really started being able to put this more together. And I had a fellow chef who was working with Affinity. So I'm a photographer as well. I do photography. I've been doing that for years and some professional photography since 2017. And I would use Photoshop. And a fellow chef introduced me to Affinity, this company that has publishing photo programs. And as soon as I started using Affinity Publisher, I said, this is it. I was able to put it together in an actual book and start seeing it page by page, illustrations. I have a great illustrator, by the way. Her name is Christine Luco. She's in Delray Beach. She does all of these amazing illustrations. I want to give a shout out to Christine because it's her and I. That's it. There's just two of us. But anyway, once I learned how to really put this into a program, it just started like really coming together. And that was when the whole thing turned into like, this is a reality. I could really do this myself. And I really do.
But are you doing parties right now? If people call you for a party or an event?
I am. I actually am coming up with, because I have to, you know, obviously have an income during this time. And I do consulting with pastries. I have a friend in Colorado who I'm going to go out and help him put a new pastry program into his restaurants.
You know, I have a neighbor. I think he's just buying into or getting into this. He's a chef as well. He's French. And I think he's putting like a French bakery or something like that.
Nice. So yeah.
Maybe that'll be something that you guys will.
Sure, I would love to.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now as far as marketing? You know, the cookbooks and
great question. But added that to the electronic distribution, everybody's using electronic means for reading books now. It seems like that's our younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
How is that affecting your business and how are you?
It's not. Actually, I'm going to be adding these as e-books. I put them out in print. They're on Amazon, so I sell on Amazon. You know, there's a lot of people who kind of bash Amazon for being the big guy taking away from the small business.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for Amazon, this small business myself wouldn't have been able to even start this. So people can access it through Amazon.
Through Amazon.
They print to order, so I don't have to order thousands of dollars worth of inventory. And
that's
you
good.
Know, so it really does help. The ebooks are on their way. I'm looking at an Etsy store as well. My thing is really social media, just doing the Facebooks, the Instagrams, Pinterest, doing Reels, and just building it up slowly with that. And that is getting a following. That is selling some books. Promotions like this right here is what, you know, as well.
Oh, this isn't a promotion. This is, we want to hear your incredible story.
Right.
So are you doing book signings?
I'm working on it. I'm actually doing myself, my own publicist right now.
Really?
Yes, because I really believe I could do as much as I can and just take it to where I keep holding on to her as much as I can myself. And then, you know, people are saying, get an agent, I queried agents a couple of years ago, and all they just want to look at how many people are following you on social media, and then if you don't have 100,000 followers, they don't even want to talk to you. And I thought, okay, I'm going to come back to you someday, and you're going to be wanting to deal with me because Chirpy's going to be popular. So I'll build it myself. I pick and choose. Like, I'm learning. I'm learning really the marketing and the publicity part of it. I've been a chef working for other companies for years. You know, this is one of the reasons I took the leap, I got this job down. Now I know how to do a book from start to finish. I didn't mean to tap that.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So I taught myself how to really publish books. I have Dazzleton Publishing Company now. It's her hometown. That's a legit legal business. I have trademarks that I did myself. I have the copyrights I did myself. There's all these things you could do without hiring lawyers, without hiring everybody. And I'm just going to keep going forward that way because I've heard stories of authors, especially authors, paying PR companies $25,000, $30,000, and they're promised all of this stuff. And at the end, they've sold 250 books out of that deal and wasted $20,000. And it happens day in and day out. And I'm just like, you know what? Sometimes you're better off just holding tight and just really putting a little out of time and spending as little as possible until you start, you know, getting traction yourself. And then you have kind of a leveraging tool, I believe, to, you know, to take it to the next level if somebody else does want to get involved.
When we were kids, you remember they used to have that little book magazine that would come out and you'd order all your books and they'd send the books to the school?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. So this Scholastic.
Yeah, and I remember getting my books. I was all happy, you know, and back then it was some kind of goofy, stupid book. Have you thought about going into, like, PTOs, PTAs, and saying, hey, look, I'm going to do this and help you as a fundraiser. It's great. It's educational. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea for families.
Absolutely.
And do as a fundraiser and actually sign books. Because I'm thinking you could probably open up a market here in Palm Beach County.
Absolutely.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
I got some connections.
The fundraisers, thank you. The fundraisers, for sure. Getting into schools is a whole different
My granddaughter goes to Redeemer up in Stewart. Mm-hmm. So I can introduce you to the PTO ladies there. They're super like involved in always doing stuff. And
I think
that
you could do
that. Would be great for them.
We want to help you too. So we're actually, what's the next concert that we're doing with Legends FM? It's May something.
I'll have to look it up.
I'll let you know. So there's a bunch of families, bunch of people up there. We sponsor one of the booths.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to invite you to be our guest.
Awesome.
You're going to bring books. You're going to sell books.
Awesome.
And you're going to do a book signing
right there.
I mean, there are thousands of
people. I'll bring brownies.
Okay?
Yeah, everybody loves brownies.
You can bring brownies for us.
Step
but
away
yes,
from the baked goods.
I'm telling you, I'm going to invite you. You're going to be our guest up there.
Thank you. Okay.
And we're going to help you get this happening.
Awesome.
Okay?
Thank you so
In
much.
In fact,
I
we're going to raffle
it.
Off a cooking session with you.
Awesome.
And we'll have Mike promote it. And that's going to be our grand prize.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
In their house.
If you want to do that, by all means, I will make that happen.
I haven't done that. Thank you. I would love to.
What do you think?
That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lou, you're going to go to that one, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
You heard it. We have witnesses that he's going to be there.
What at the concert?
Yes.
Awesome. I would love to. Thank you so much.
So tell me your biggest challenges besides getting a book on the market.
You just said it. Just growing it, building it, and sustaining myself as it could take, this could be 2 years, right? And I'm fully aware that this could be 2 years. But the challenge is just really sometimes saying, you know, what the heck are you doing? Like, someday you wake up and you go, you're really doing this. Like, you know, and the actual effect in your mind of changing the mindset from always having a salary, a paycheck, insurance,
right.
to, you know.
You know what, you're going to be successful because you love doing what you're doing.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. You know, you're not worrying about money. You know that. It's a part that is going to come.
It's going to come.
Because you love, it's like an athlete. If you worry about how much money you make, you don't perform. You don't know.
Exactly. But I'm going to tell you, there's something to be said about fear, okay? Mm-hmm. When you're going into business and you're starting a business, if you are not fearful of where your next meal's coming from,
exactly.
you're not motivated. You're not doing all the things you need to do to push your passion.
Exactly.
And obviously your passion is this book and your food's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I agree, but that fear is what's going to keep getting you to the next place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you look at the girl that we had from a bug bite thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
She went on Shark Tank. But
nice.
They, like, mortgaged her house.
They
and
mortgaged
stuff.
Their house.
Like,
I mean, they did everything they could to
they
figure out how
yeah.
to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm living off my
a simple
savings.
Thing like that, I mean, she made it.
I cashed in my 401k, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
So how does somebody get your book?
Amazon.com or chirpydecorum.com.
Spell it.
chirpydecorum.com or search Chirpy Decorum on Amazon and you see all three books. There's actually a page, series page. It's awesome. And to your point, you're right. Like I've always in my pastry chef life would be at parties and everybody's, oh, you're a pastry chef. That's great. You know, and you kind of fall in that role of, you know, hey, that's cool. It's fun. This is mine now. Like I really go out there. And it's so enjoyable and like the feeling to just be promoting what you were made to do in life. Like this is finally, like this is what I was meant to do because it's bigger than me. Of course I wanted to be successful. Of course I got the trademarks and all that stuff for licensing deals down the line someday. But like to let this, my success is when people, parents and their kids actually use this and read it. And hopefully to me, it's like, then they grow up and the kids could go, oh, Chirpy books. We did that when I was a kid. And they could read and do that with their kids and, you know, just have it like generational. That to me is where this could go and where I would love to see it go. Because then the world gets to actually see what my intention and this character. I mean, she's a really great character. She's fun. And there's lessons in each book. There's little things, you know, that just
stories.
Just lessons and things that
about inspiration. I haven't seen Dawn this happy in a long time.
I love it.
Oh, yeah?
I love it.
Yeah, there's like, there's a magic apron. And,
I saw that,
it
read
just,
that, yeah.
It has the power apron. Of sharing. But there's a really cool, like, twist to that. Like, there's more powers that that she knows. And if you read this book, you'd be really
surprised. Little, like, the
surprised.
Stories in between.
Right, so that's the reading part. So that's where the parents read with their kids because there's actually stories. And then these recipes really work. I test them. I develop the recipes. Like I said, I write the stories.
The magic apron.
Cook
is
the
that
food.
The magic
Love
apron?
The pictures you put
Thank
in
you. I photograph everything. And I turned my second bedroom into a photo studio about nice. A year and a half, 2 years ago.
This one
and,
is you know, edible right now.
For sure.
Louis, stop licking the page.
The blueberry crumb.
And you could create a magic
can
apron,
you scratch
right? You could sell and,
absolutely.
You know, down the road. But
and there's
the,
a world. If you look
the
at the cover, her whisk is, hey, he has a maybe smile when you, on it.
Hey.
You see this? So that's
oh.
world. So that's
Robert,
world.
Robert, he would like you to do a scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff.
With the blueberry crumb cake.
Woo,
so
that looks
world,
good.
Like it shows right. in the first book, her whisk, world comes to life with her. So like, just imagine... You're in another kitchen and there's a whisk somewhere. Like when she needs it, that world becomes that whisk.
And it'll just
so
she can be like, and it just will come.
Yeah, he goes, Sherpy, we're making lemon custard today, you know. And so wherever she goes, world will show up when if she needs him. It's like her little BFF and he's a little whisk that just comes to life. So I try to just incorporate all these characters to this because she's an animated character. You could really do anything with that, right?
Yeah.
Can we hire you for a party?
Love it.
Sure.
Suppose we wanted to have about 50 kids for a big event. Can we hire you to do something at a party?
Sure, absolutely.
How would they reach you?
561-350-1070.
One more time?
561-350-1070.
Now, do you have a website or?
I have chirpydecorum.com. I also have robertbellini.com. That's my name, robertbellini.com.
Double L?
Double L, like the drink, Bellini. And I have that website because I do photography and web designs. I've designed websites for friends just as a side hustle for a few years, and that's something I do just to keep it going.
You and I need to talk.
All right.
So
you can contact me through that.
When you're going to have a party at your house and you want to do something totally different, imagine bringing this guy in, bringing your friends, 25 friends, and saying
kids.
That they're going to cook and they're going to get an autograph book. You need to pay this man.
Let's go do it.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
See?
I actually have this as an event, an activity for country clubs, because I worked in country clubs. In the past, I've worked here at Mirasol Country Club for 5 years, Frenchman's Creek right up here.
Right.
So I used to work up in this area for like 10 years. And they have summer kids camps every mm-hmm. summer. And so my activity I'm coming up with is read and bake with Chirpy. And I'm going to go
the
in.
Summer camp, right?
Yeah, the with the kids that, yeah. because I did it actually at Royal Palm Yacht Club where I recently was. And have like a demo, sit down, have a reading with the kids, and then together we can make the blueberry crumb or these brownies.
Mm-hmm.
And while they bake, I'm going to read more Chirpy stories. They're each going to get a book out of, you know, as the for the day. And
Dawn,
then,
we could make you Chirpy.
Yeah.
Chirpy.
We can make Taylor Chirpy.
Exactly.
You know how sometimes you don't realize what doors can open up, right,
yeah.
until you do something. So I published this first one early 2022. And a waitress where I was working at this country club came in one day. She said, Robert, I bought two for my niece last week, Chirpy. She goes, I'm going to be Chirpy Decorum for Halloween.
Aww.
And my mouth just dropped to the floor because I never even thought about that idea. I'm like, I can
Halloween
have Chirpy
costume?
Oh, that is so awesome.
Right. So like, you would never know that until you do it.
And when you
right.
do a party for the kids, you got to have somebody dressed like Chirpy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And she'll be the cook. She'll be cooking.
Right.
Hey, we can wrap this up. We're running out of time.
We're over time.
Right. So,
yes.
One more time.
How does somebody find you?
Robert Bellini. It could be at robertbellini.com. My phone number is 561-350-1070.
Robert, we can't thank you enough for being with
thank
us.
Thank you. I can't thank you guys enough.
Awesome brownies, bro.
Those were
your
awesome.
Brownies
nice
are amazing.
You guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, they were.
Thank you.
When it comes to health coverage, you want solid value from a trustworthy company you can rely on. Florida Blue offers Medicare Advantage plans that can help you get more out of your health coverage. And don't you want more? Call Apple Insurance, your local agency for Florida Blue at 888-MY-BLUE-8 to have all your Medicare questions answered and learn about different options. Don't settle for less than the value and stability Florida Blue has delivered throughout the state of Florida to Medicare beneficiaries for more than 25 years. Value, security, knowledge, and trust. Blue Medicare from Florida Blue means more. Call Apple Insurance at 888-MY-BLUE-8 today to speak to a licensed agent about your Medicare Advantage options. That's 888-MY-BLUE-8. Apple Insurance and Florida Blue. Call 888-MY-BLUE-8 today.
Florida Blue is an independent license of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Good day. This is Alan, Secret to My Success, here with Mr. Louis Saliceya.
Yay.
Yay. How you doing, Louis?
Good. What's going on with the Boston Red Sox, bro?
13-13, they suck.
Really?
Hey, everybody predicted that they weren't going to win 50 games this year, so.
They got time.
You think?
Better get a lot of players, though.
Like pitchers?
Pitchers, yeah, they need a lot of pitching.
Don, is that you?
Who's ringing? Nope, it's not me.
Okay, Don, how are you?
I am fantastic.
You're
incredible? Better than ever.
You are?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, way.
You got a little bit of
you got some tan.
Shine in, or tine or color in it, you know.
What's up with that?
Yeah, there you go. You know.
Riding hog?
Yeah, yeah. Getting the wind.
There you go. Cool. Well, guys, we have a couple of really cool guests today. So we are going to be introducing my buddy Greg, who's going to introduce his boss. Greg, come on up.
Hey, Alan. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me today. So we're Payroll, a payroll financing company. And, you know, here with me today, of course, is Morris. And Morris is the founder and CEO of Payroll. And I think I'll turn it over to him and let him tell you what Payroll is all about.
No, no, no. Payroll, not payroll. Payroll.
Payroll. Okay.
Don's looking at me like, why would I have a
payroll? What is that? Okay, yeah. So what is payroll?
You got to hear this. This is the coolest thing.
Okay, I'm ready.
Morris, hear it.
Hit us.
Well, let's get stuck on the name right now. When I was looking for a name, and I was looking for anything to do with pay, and everything was taken, right? It was Payrix, Payrocks, Payroll, pay, whatever you want. The only thing that wasn't taken yet was payroll without the L's, because everybody thought it was a typo. So I got it.
You didn't want to go for Pay Daddy?
Pay Mama? No, doesn't exist.
No, okay. Just wondering.
Pay Mommy?
Okay.
Not bad.
You're going to Google all Pay right. Daddy after this, aren't you? Who's your daddy? Okay.
Okay.
So tell everybody what you do.
So we got the name. Well, in short, what we do is we offer these short-term advances for business owners to cover payroll. Because one primary reason is that every business owner stresses the most when it comes to covering their payroll. You go into business, in any office today, any business, any guy running a business, and if they're growing,
Hold on a second. Does somebody have, are you guys on speaker? Do you have your phones on speaker? Or there's like a weird hiss in the background. You hear that?
Like
a chirpy chirp sound?
Like birdies.
I'm on my headset.
I'm on my headset as well, and I had mute on.
It's not you, Greg. Morris?
It seems to be like when they pause, so I'll just have to edit this like real good and take out all the middle parts, because you only hear it when they stop talking.
Okay.
You know? All right, sorry. Go ahead. I'm Morris. Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, what we do in short is we offer these short-term advances specifically for payroll, because one of the most common stresses in business is running payroll and worrying about the...
Hold on, Morris. We're not getting it. When you're talking. Morris, can you go to your phone directly and cut out that headset? Let's try that.
Okay, let's do it.
Otherwise, the audio is not going to be good, yeah.
How about this?
Hasn't changed.
Better?
No.
Hasn't changed.
Okay, we're going to do this.
Let me get to my phone. Give me a sec. All right.
Maybe Greg, if he can go right to his phone, too.
This is chirping big time.
How does that sound?
Hey guys,
hello?
This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna hang up on both of you and call you right back.
All right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Dawn, okay.
Hang up. Call back. All yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right. Now, by the way, Pay Daddy does exist.
Pay Daddy exists.
You bet.
You were looking it up, weren't you? That's a riot.
That's funny. All right, here we go. We'll start over. You want to ask him the question about how he came up with the name, and I'll take it back to that. Okay?
Yep.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Morris, let's hear about this. How'd you come up with the name Payroll?
Yeah, well, all right. So we're all about funding payroll. So when I was thinking about a name, it was me, myself, sitting in the office and making it up. Got a case, something with payroll and lending, and I tried Googling it, and I found payroll, PayFix, PayFlux, PayRox, whatever you want, everything existed besides payroll without the two L's. Well, I guess somebody else thought that would be a typo. So I quickly got it, and that's how we got payroll and payroll finance. Ever since I'm always struggling, telling people it's payroll without the L's. So sometimes I regret the name. But anyway.
Don't regret the name. It's a cute name.
It's a cute one. All right.
But like you said, Pay Daddy's taken. Or Payday Daddy.
Exactly. Pay Daddy. Just look at paydaddies.com.
Right? Also, yeah, then let's not give somebody else's name. We didn't even know what that is. So I got to ask you, how'd you come up with this idea?
Well, everything's a story in life. But this would be a story too. And it's a long story. Well, let's go for it.
You got 28 seconds. Let's hear it.
forget about it.
No, I'm only kidding. How'd you get into this?
All right, so here's how it goes. I used to be at a merchant cash advance company. Also, it was someone's family invested there, and I was a part of the company too. And I was always looking for new ways to find some money to get some deals. So I was once at a conference in the Javits Center, an accounting and finance conference. And I met there at a local payroll company. And not knowing a damn thing about payroll and how it works, I was walking over to him. He was trying to sell me and bragging about how many customers he has. And I'm like, okay, great. I do loans. Okay, so how about you for some customers to me, right? And I'll pay you a commission. And okay, you better than that. Very naive approach and like, sure. But the guy did disclose that, well, he could use some loans for customers. Oftentimes, he's laying out money for them and he can't keep it, man, when he's doing it. His customers are begging for him to cover the payroll, why they need another day, and he can't sleep at night. He'd rather have somebody else put out the money. So I'm like, okay, great. So we have a deal, right? You refer them to me, and I'll pay you a commission. Well, it didn't really happen. He didn't have the bandwidth to do more. He was always catching his tail. But that's when I learned there's an opportunity here, and there's a common business struggle, covering payroll, having to cash immediately when you need it, and there's no one servicing it. You can go out to get all types of loans, but not this specific pain point and stress and struggle the business to deal with. There's no one taking care of it.
What's the difference between this and a traditional line of credit that I'm getting from my company?
Well, any line of credit is not specific to payroll. So you can get the line of credit, and then you use it. And what typically happens is you don't pay it back until you're flush with money. So you use the money for whatever you did, you renovated, you hired people, whatever you need a capital for. And then it just sits in your balance. You can accrue interest. It's not available continuously. Whereas businesses that have an ongoing cash flow fluctuation, invoices get paid, there's money in. The next thing they're out, the money's low. But you have this consistent payroll every 2 weeks or every week, payroll's coming up. Your cash flow is not staying that consistent. Okay. Sometimes we need it a day or a week until a check gets cashed and cleared and you have the money. So we're guaranteeing, providing sort of an insurance, a coverage, that you'll always have the money for payroll. Stop stressing out about that. And don't always worry about having the cash for payroll. You don't have to have cash on hand for payroll.
But these companies shouldn't be coming to you the day they can't make their payroll, right?
Which they probably do, right?
Right. So seriously, they say never go to the bank when you need money. Never go to a funeral home and negotiate a funeral when somebody's dead. There's really no bargains. So I have to assume that these people need to have this set up in place in case it's a rainy day, not 10 days after the rain and I don't know how I'm making my payroll.
Well, you're spot on. Exactly. It's supposed to be that way. And you know how life is. But unfortunately, some people do negotiate their funeral after their relative is dead. Mm-hmm. So that does happen sometimes. Whenever we come across an objection, well, I don't need a loan today, then the answer is, that's why you should apply today.
Right. Don't
wait when you need it. Then it's too late. Right? We like being more like, let's call it preventive medicine versus, coming to us as an emergency room.
Right.
Being proactive.
I could not tell you how many times. So most people know I own a payroll company and I'm on the hook for payroll. So if I run Dawn's payroll on Wednesday and she wants to pay Louie on Friday, well, Dawn's bank reminds me on Monday that we're only kidding. Dawn didn't really have the money. And then I've got to try and pull the money out of Louie's account, which has become a whole nightmare in itself. So I'm super uncomfortable with taking a bunch of clients that I don't know, because I don't want to be on the hook for their payroll. Because when the bank comes to me, they like, Alan, you need to make good on Louis' payroll now, me, not Dawn. Then mm-hmm. I have to run around and chase Dawn to try and get the money. This is a great idea for a small business that's actually thinking about funding payroll, just to make sure that if they're bringing somebody in, there's a problem, that
right.
that they're funded.
Yeah, it's covered. Something happens, and yeah.
So, Greg, let's hear your perspective on that. You come from the payroll industry.
Yeah, so I've been in the payroll industry for the past 20 years. You know, helped service bureaus, just like Alan and many others. And what I can say is cash flow and money in the bank are two different things. So many companies have cash in the bank, but the way their cash flows in and out based on receivables can put them in a situation where when the payroll date's coming due, that their receivables haven't caught up with the money that's going out of the bank, and they need that, you know, 1 to 4 weeks of, you know, well, just if I could have something at a low interest rate, ready to put money in the bank to cover payroll, that's where payroll steps in, and that's where it's the perfect solution. So it's a quick 48-hour process to get approved. But once again, it's 48 hours. When you need the payroll, when you need that capital in the bank, you don't have 48 hours to get approved. So, you know, Alan, the way I always see it is people have cybersecurity insurance. They have business insurance. Why wouldn't they have that insurance on their payroll as well? That's one thing, you know, regulatory compliance will catch up to you. And if you don't pay your employees, not only are you going to be in trouble with the government, but your employees might not show up the next day.
Right. So, I mean, think about it. An average business owner, you know, they bank with a bank, and one day they come in on a Wednesday and they find out that their account's been hacked and somebody wired, you know, $500,000 out of their account, and payroll's due on Thursday. Those people have a problem.
Yeah.
Because that bank's not going to resolve that overnight. It's not going to happen. And those employees, they don't care what happens to you. They want to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a kind of a neat option for companies just to make sure that it's in their back pocket.
You know, think of it this way. You know, you think of your electric bill. Imagine you didn't pay your electric bill. The next day you get a shut-off notice. Well, if you miss your payroll one day late, your employees are already looking for a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, especially with how hard it is to find employees. Last thing you want to do is take a great employee and say, look, I'm sorry, but you're not getting paid. That's a problem.
So what's the process of a business setting using your services?
Yeah, well, so it goes like this. We have, like Greg mentioned, a 48-hour turnaround for approval. So if business applies online, we will then, you know, analyze the account and have a conversation with them and give them an answer, 48 hours, yes or no. That's one advantage compared to a bank or other lenders.
And then they'll have that money within the 48 hours?
No, once they are approved, then that approval gets 3 months at a time. At any time within their 3 months, when they are processing payroll, they can get the money same day. So you submit payroll, then you jump onto our portal, log in, say I need to find some funding, enter your payroll information, boom. Get the money to your account wired same day. The money's in the account, and it's available for the ECH impound the next morning from the payroll company. And you can do this repeatedly over a three-month period. And every 3 months, we reevaluate, and I will then either maintain the line, increase it, or if we have to decrease it, or close it out completely if things changed.
What are the requirements to get approved?
The main thing we look at is bank statements. We look at 6 months of bank activity. We want to see just cash revenue, net cash flows, sales cycles, and we look at it to find any other transactions that catch our attention that can be concerns.
All
right. Is there a minimum?
There are a couple of minimums. Well, there's a minimum requirement as being at least 2 years in business, at least 5 employees, and a minimum of $25K average monthly revenue to begin with.
What do you charge for them to use your service? What's your fees and what's your charge?
Yeah, it's a 1.5% a week. So imagine a guy has to cover $10,000 payroll for 1 week because they're short, waiting for someone to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
That's $150 to cover your payroll for a week. I
could tell you, though, seriously, as a payroll company, that if you bounce your payroll, the fees for the bounce fees are going to be far more than $150. Yeah.
Well, you know, like when I'm analyzing bank statements, we see a lot of interesting things. We had someone apply for a loan half a year ago. They were doing $3 million revenue a month. But guess what? We had to decline them. And guess why? They had 1,200 NSFs a year. You get it? They paid over $30,000 in NSF fees to the bank that year because they were simply mismanaged, just complete mismanagement.
Hmm.
Every other day, the balances were negative, positive, negative, positive. And even though they had a lot of revenue, we could not lend them because they were more negative than positive.
I've got to ask you, you know, I'm a big friend or fan of Greg's. What magic words on his interview did he say to you that you said, I'm bringing him on?
Well, you said you're a friend of Greg's. I'm sure you know what Greg is like. You stay with him for half an hour, and you become his friend.
It took you 30 minutes, really? Greg's a good guy.
Easy, Alan.
No, Greg's a really good guy. Greg, talk to us. You probably had a lot of options in different places you can go, and you picked to be here. What was your motivation?
My motivation was the company and how friendly and how ethical they are. You know, when you start thinking about financing companies and kind of let's call it short-term lending, right? You think to yourself, they're not in it for the greater good. They're in it to take advantage of either small businesses or people. A lot of times, like you see with those brick and mortar stores that do the payday lending for employees, they get them in that cycle where they can never get out. And as I learned more about Morris and more about his company, it really that 1.5%, like you said, 150 on a $10,000 loan, that's nothing. It's very ethical. It's very appealing, and it just struck a chord with me as many small business owners as I've worked with over the 20 years, how many times this could have saved someone from having those NSFDs, how many times it could have saved a payroll company from having to cover a payroll and, you know, not take a paycheck that week themselves, right? Because their money's tied up covering somebody else's payroll. So that's what attracted was just how friendly and how ethical they were, and it's been an amazing ride. I'm what, a week and a half in right now, and it's been wonderful.
Well, I think I have a client for you.
Well,
I sent him over already. It's a beautiful thing, you know, and you're right. It's circumstance. It could be some companies waiting on a big receivable check to come in, or you know, it could be an investment that's coming in. And they're waiting on it, and they're saying, at some point, I'm going to get stuck. And this is just a really nice it's a nice option for them to make sure that their employees aren't leaving them.
Yeah, I mean, based on surveys that we've seen, 69% of businesses in the U.S. could benefit from this service. And if you think about it, you know, you have 2 months a year where you have three if you're biweekly, of course, where you have three payrolls in 1 month. Well, most businesses, they get accustomed to paying their employees twice a month. When those two months come around every year where you have to dish out three payrolls in that month, but your receivables are either, you know, net 60 or net 90, you know, that cash flow hasn't caught up in your bank account yet for that third payroll, but it will within the next few weeks. So, as you can see, that's one use case scenario for it.
How do you market this? How are you bringing in customers?
Well, we market it a couple different ways. So, you know, to customers that we talk to on the direct side, it's really protection for their business. It's protection for their most valuable asset, which is their employees. And it's because we don't want them losing employees. We want them to have the funding when they need it, on time, every time. And then from a partnership standpoint, like you, Alan, when we go out and we look for partners, it's, hey, you as a payroll company, you're not just a payroll company. I'm sure you hate that classification, right? Oh, I'm a payroll company. No, you're a business.
No, he loves it.
Your client. It's funny you say that, but people ask me, well, are you like ADP? Well, we're kind of like them, but we like our customers, and we actually treat them with dignity and respect, and we charge less. So, yeah, I'm kind of like them, but I'm kind of totally unlike them. So, yes, I agree with what you're saying.
But you love
you. Yeah, you
love
come
you
in, you can, Right. You consult your clients. You act as an extension of not only their maybe as their controller, but maybe also as their HR, as an extension of how they should set themselves up as a business. And so partnering with you is a great thing, because you're able to come in and say, hey, I have this great service where you're insuring everything, and now we're going to get your payroll insured, to where it just takes that worry away from you, and it gives them that peace of mind that no matter what the bank account looks like on payroll day, that they can be covered.
What other services do you guys offer?
That's it. We do one thing. We do one thing, and we do it well, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the focus of the business, and that's the beauty of it. So we want to make sure that payroll's covered, and that's it.
What's your risk? What happens if you loan somebody money and they just don't come back? That's got to be a lot of fun trying to collect, right?
That's got to be, yeah.
That's a great question. Now, for that, you need to be a lender, first of all, to be able to stomach risk. Now, if you're a payroll company, you're probably more risk-averse than a lender. I'll just put that out there. But that's what we rely on our underwriting, and we evaluate businesses that are established and have good cash flow. The concept is that anybody that cannot pay within a short window of 4 weeks, which is a typical program, and it happens over time. Well, 4 weeks is only 4 weeks. We can enter a payment plan with them and say, you know what, you're having a problem paying it in 4 weeks. Okay, you need 6 months to pay it. Once our payment plan, you paid up over 6 months. We have enough time to work with the business owner in a decent way and make a plan that works for everybody. We get paid up in a decent amount of time without killing our business. And that's the key thing of our product. We give you a short-term product. It's for us, short-term, we can take the risk because we have time to deal with you like a mensch if you can't pay it up.
Nice Jewish man. We're talking about a mensch.
That's right.
Nice. So, true story, client bounces a $27,000 payroll on me.
Mm.
Everybody's been paid. Some of these banks don't like to pull the money out. So you have the opportunity to pull the money out of the employees' accounts, but it's gotten a little hairy. So I call the guy up. I'm like, look, we need to talk. He finally calls me back and says, why are you calling me so many times? I'm like, well, you bounced your payroll, buddy. He says, don't bother me with that. And I don't like the way you called me. You're fired. I'm like, you can fire me anytime you want, but you're going to have a check in my hand tomorrow. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yeah, you are. And he didn't. I had to go hire a lawyer.
Wow.
And what most people don't realize here in Florida is you have the ability to sue for treble damages.
Hmm.
So we were bringing them up for over 70 grand to get the money back. And we were going to get attorney's fees. So by the time this guy settled, it took about a month and a half, he ended up spending over $9,000 in my attorney's fees. And we made more money. Whereas if a guy like that was just a little smarter.
Right.
And used a company like this and said, hey, look, I'm having a little cash flow problem. Think about how much money that guy could have saved and all the grief and aggravation, the embarrassment of him having to deal with his employees to know that they're switching payroll companies because they screwed the last one. Any thoughts on that, Greg?
You know, had he been using a company like payroll, he would. And by the way, I want to mention, we're the only ones in the space that are doing this. There's no other company out there that's specifically designed to cover payroll. And we only cover payroll. So in this scenario, Alan, that you described, you as Alan, the payroll provider, would have never known, because what he would have mm-hmm. done is when he went through and when he got to his total cash requirements report, which that's the report that tells a business, here's how much money you have to have in the bank to fund your payroll. When he would have gotten to that report, he would have just sent that in to payroll, and he would have had the money in his bank within 2 hours. And so no one would have ever known that he was short on cash flow or anything. It would have been there.
Is there an application fee for a business to do this with you guys?
There is not. There's no fee to sign up. There's no monthly fee that they incur. So it's one thing I talk about as an insurance. This is literally a free insurance.
Okay, so if you've been in business 2 years, you got at least 5 employees, you bring $25,000 a month in revenue, they are a fit for your organization to make sure that you are their standby insurance if there's a problem with their payroll.
Absolutely.
Okay, how does somebody reach you?
Seems like a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Well, let's put something out there. It's not only if you have 25. We actually fund from 25K up to $500,000.
We actually have some customers that are running payrolls more than $1 million, like most commonly in the healthcare space. And again, they're at the mercy of insurance paying them on time, and all you need is a bank holiday on Monday. Now they don't have the money for Tuesday to cover payroll, just for that reason alone. And they need money for 1 week. So we've had customers that we've funded $500,000 to cover that payroll for them for 1 week.
Wow. You must be somebody's really good friend when you write them a check for $500,000 to cover their payroll.
Mm.
They must really like you.
Well, that's why I hired Greg, because he's a very friendly guy.
Greg, do they like you?
You know, I hope so. But, you know, I always signed up for this, Alan, because you were going to, you know, you were going to lean into me a little bit. I didn't know my new boss was going to lean in as well.
Guys, how does somebody reach you? Who are they calling if they have questions? Are they calling you, Morris? Are they calling Greg? Who are we calling?
All right. Well, it depends who. If you're your payroll service bureau, call Greg. If you're a business owner and you want a loan, well, Tyler is our direct sales guy. You can reach Tyler directly. It's Tyler, P-Y-L-E-R, at payrollfinance.com.
Is there a phone number?
Phone number? Well, Greg, what's our phone number? Sure, let's see that. You can call us directly.
Guys, it's cute when you don't know your own phone number. Come on, give me a phone number.
Phone numbers. Let's get it. 1 second.
All right, you're going to have to edit this
one
a little bit.
833-271-4499.
Could you repeat that, please?
Slower.
833-271-4499.
One more time.
833-271-4499.
Beautiful.
And your website?
PayrollFinance.com. PayrollFinance.com.
Is there an application online I can fill out?
Absolutely. You can begin right now.
You're getting that business, aren't you?
I've already sent them over to two clients.
I'm sure you're sending them lots
morning.
Of business, yeah.
Yeah.
They're a good hook. You're a good hookup for them.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them deal with it than me chasing customers down saying, where's your money?
Right. There you have it.
Because I'm on the hook. I mean, not my company. Me personally.
You need to get you the bruiser.
That's it. I'm going to send Louie
Go old
in.
School, man.
I'm sending Louie in.
Get the bruiser.
We're going to make the payroll right. Don't make me do
it.
Ain't
paying me, all right?
I like it.
Uncle Joey's going to come visit you.
Actually, you know what would be funny? We're going to have Dawn show up on the hog, and she's going to take Louie with a bat.
Some girls on the motorcycles, yeah.
What do you think?
Scare them. I'm in.
See, they don't even have to do that. We're just going to let payroll handle it. They're not going to have to worry about that kind of stuff. What do you think?
Yeah.
Payroll's not giving me an option on this, are they? You guys there?
They're there.
You guys didn't like that? Sorry, guys. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks for being here, guys.
We're just going to have to put our website on your hog to where as you're driving down through. You're a driving advertisement.
You got it.
That's a good idea.
Good.
Guys, we can't thank you enough for being here. We think it's a valuable service. We love helping small business, and this could be a good option for a company that's just trying to figure out how to transition from being cash positive and never having to worry about this, but this could be the bridge that gets them there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. Yes.
When it comes to health coverage, you want solid value from a trustworthy company you can rely on. Florida Blue offers Medicare Advantage plans that can help you get more out of your health coverage. And don't you want more? Call Apple Insurance, your local agency for Florida Blue, at 888-MY-BLUE-8 to have all your Medicare questions answered and learn about different options. Don't settle for less than the value and stability Florida Blue has delivered throughout the state of Florida to Medicare beneficiaries for more than 25 years. Value, security, knowledge, and trust. Blue Medicare from Florida Blue means more. Call Apple Insurance at 888-MY-BLUE-8 today to speak to a licensed agent about your Medicare Advantage options. That's 888-MY-BLUE-8. Apple Insurance and Florida Blue. Call 888-MY-BLUE-8 today.
Florida Blue is an independent license of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Thanks for listening to The Secret to My Success on Legends 100.3.